You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Through this season of Lent, we've been walking through these Old Testament texts. To see what God is doing as he leads us to the cross. And this is the last week of this series, as next week we begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday. But so far this Lent, we've seen the guilt that came upon humanity in the garden as Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then we saw this turn to grace as God chose a specific people to be a blessing to all the world. But even as God led those people, they grumbled because they were in the, you know, they were in the wilderness and all of their needs they didn't feel like were being met. But God continues to lead them and God gives them a guide to show them how they are called to live. But today we see that a guide isn't enough. Right, as people who are under the curse of Adam and Eve, we don't just need a guide. We don't just need someone to show us how to better live our lives. But what we need is someone who can make dry bones rattle, right? What we need is someone who can raise us from our grave. And so today we get to see how God gave the prophet Ezekiel a picture of what that would look like and what that meant for the people of Israel, but also what that means for us today. And so we see that the hand of the Lord was upon the prophet Ezekiel and brought him out in the spirit of the Lord and set him down in the middle of a valley that was full of bones. So first of all, we need a little context. Who is Ezekiel and what is he doing? Well, Ezekiel is a prophet who is in exile, speaking to a people who were in exile, speaking to a people who have seen destruction. Babylon has conquered the southern kingdom, the last remnant. They've conquered Judah. And they've taken their leaders of the tribe of Judah and of Israel that's left, and they've taken them to Babylon. And they've left some of the regular old people to keep working in Jerusalem, but they've taken their leaders away. And as they did that, they also destroyed the temple. And so in this, then God takes Ezekiel with the Spirit and sets him down in this valley of bones. And God led Ezekiel around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry, right? So not just bones, but dry, brittle bones. And he said to me, O son of man, can these bones live? Now I want you to put yourself in Ezekiel's place, right? I want you to imagine that you are in this valley that is just filled with bones, and you've been walking around through them, and they're such dry, brittle bones that as you're walking around through them, maybe you step on one here, and it just turns to dust. And then God stops and says, hey, can these live? How would you answer? Well, Ezekiel says, oh, Lord, you know, right? Oh, Lord God, you know. That's a phrase that we're going to keep coming back to today, right? To the eye, as you look around, you see all these bones, these dry, brittle bones that are turning to dust. Absolutely not. There's no way that these bones can live. But you can't say no to God. But you also look at it, and so you can't say yes either. And so Ezekiel says, I don't know, but oh Lord God, you know. And notice how he doesn't put words in God's mouth. He doesn't say, oh yeah, God, you can do it, and I'm sure you will. But he also leaves room for God to work. And look at how God answers. He says to me, he said to Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will say to the sinews, or I will lay the sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And so, as God is telling Ezekiel what he's going to do, do you see how God works here? Right? Because God could have picked up Ezekiel, dropped him in the middle of the dry bones, and said, watch this. And then did what he was going to do. Or he could have told Ezekiel, wouldn't it be really cool if I could do this? Just get that picture in your head. But instead he says, Ezekiel, I'm going to work through you. I'm going to put my word in your mouth. And so he brings Ezekiel into it. And God works through his word, but not in some vague spiritual way. He works through his word spoken by his chosen messenger. And when his word is spoken, he does what he says he will do. As Ezekiel prophesied, as he was commanded. And as he prophesied, God's word did what it said he would do. There was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And Ezekiel looked, and behold, there was sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath. So again, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture these bones coming together and then sinews. Maybe that's like the picture of the science textbook where all the muscles and all the things are shown. That's, I think, the creepiest picture ever. And then there's skin that comes over the top of it. And so it looks like people, but there's no breath in them. There's structure, there's form, there's a body, but there's no life. And if you've ever been to a funeral with an open casket or a visitation, you know exactly what that looks like, where you see the form of a human body, but you can tell there's no life there. And so again, I can picture it. Now, God doesn't actually do this, or at least the text doesn't tell us that God does this, but I can picture then God looking to Ezekiel and saying, okay, now look at all these bodies that have skin on them. Can these live? And again, I picture Ezekiel, it's not written in the text, but I picture him going, oh Lord, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man. Prophesy and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, and O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so he did it, right? He prophesied as God commanded him, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. What God is doing here is not some really cool magic trick, right? It's not some silly skeletons dancing around, dim bones, right. It's not that, right? What God is doing is restoration. A people, right? God's people are being brought back to life. And if you just see the picture, you might not understand what that means, or you might not make that connection. And so God says, well, let me make sure that you know what I'm talking about. Ezekiel, sorry, I went too far. These bones, yeah, there it is. Ezekiel, these bones, they're the whole house of Israel. So I want you to say, or behold, these are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they say, right? They say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off, right? That is the words, that is the cries of the people of Israel. Our bones, right? Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off, right? That is not, I had a bad day. That is not, it's been a really long week or a really hard year. Right. These are people who think that their story is completely over. Because again, remember that these are our people who are in exile. They are far from their home. They're far from Jerusalem, the capital city of the nation of Israel. And what was in the capital city, what was in Jerusalem, was the temple that they would take their offerings to. When they would become unclean, they would go to the temple. And they would take their offerings, and the priests would receive those, and then they'd become clean again, and they'd be reconnected to God. But not only are they far away from the temple, but the temple doesn't exist anymore. Because when Babylon came into Jerusalem, they destroyed it. And so these are people who are living under the weight of their sin. They had gone after other gods. They had not lived in the way that God had called them to live. And because of that, judgment came. And so they're living under the weight of this judgment, under the shame that they feel and the loss, this disconnect from God. And to them, it looks like everything that God had promised them had collapsed. So they don't just feel bad. They feel like they have no future. They feel like they are completely separated from God. And then God speaks. Right? They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are indeed cut off. And God answers. Right? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will live. And I'll place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it, declares the Lord. Right? They say, hope is lost. We are cut off. But God answers, I will open your graves. I will raise you up. I will bring you into the land. I will put my spirit on you. I will place you into that land. I have spoken. I will do it. Notice there's not one time in there when God says, try harder. There's not one time in there where God says, just hold on a little bit longer and then you'll see why all of the things that have been happening, that'll all click into place. Not one time does God say, well, here are some tips to help you live a better life. No, God says, I will. And he says, I will, not just so that they can have life, but multiple times he says, so that you will know that I am the Lord. Because from an outsider's perspective, exile made it look like God had failed. That the story was over. That the Lord that they've been praying to, that these people had been praying to, maybe he wasn't really the Lord at all. Maybe he was just like one of those other gods that works for a little while and then a stronger God comes to defeat. But God works here in such a way so that they will know that he still is the Lord, that his promises still stand, and that he is not done yet. Today, as you came into this place, maybe you were or maybe you weren't feeling as desperate as the people of Israel. Maybe you weren't feeling like hope was completely cut off or that you were separated from God, but maybe you know weariness. Or maybe you know just a thin hope that might get you through the day, but that's about it. Or maybe you know those dead feeling places where just nothing's good enough. Or maybe you've been asking the questions, can I really keep going? Why is it so hard? Is this really how life is supposed to be? Is this really what this is? Is this all that there is? And maybe in those places, as you're asking those questions or feeling that, maybe in those places is a great time to pray the prayer that Ezekiel prayed. Oh, Lord God, you know. And that prayer probably starts from a place of confusion. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how. I don't know. But the more you pray, oh, Lord God, you know. Oh, Lord God, you know. The more you pray that, it turns your confusion into a conviction. Where it starts with, I don't know, but, oh, Lord God, you know. And into that, God speaks and he says, I will. Like with Ezekiel, God doesn't work in some vague spiritual way, but he says, I will in a very physical way. Jesus is God's I will in the flesh. And as God's I will in the flesh, what he does what God says and what God promises. All right, God says, I will open, I will raise, I will bring, I will put my spirit within you, I will do it. And in Jesus, he came. He came into our deadness. He entered into our exile. He went into the grave, and he came out of that grave. And today he gives his spirit. He speaks life still now, and yet he still has one I will left to fulfill on that last day when he promises to bring us into the land that he is preparing for us. So in Jesus, God's I will that was given to the Israelites through Ezekiel, in Jesus that I will becomes I did. And I still do. And I still will. All right, Jesus has worked through his life on this earth, through his death, and through his resurrection. He is still working through the sending of his spirit into our lives, but he is not finished. I will. Jesus will. But even that might feel a little vague, or a little spiritual, because Jesus feels so far off. We can't touch him. We can't feel him. And again, just as God used Ezekiel in a very physical way to speak his word into the valley, God still speaks through his people. In just a little bit after the sermon, we have a moment of confession, to confess our sins before God. And then I get to stand right here, and I get to say, as a called and ordained servant of the word, it is my joy, my honor, my privilege to announce God's grace to all of you. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then if we were doing private confession absolution or what you'll hear on Thursday, on Maundy Thursday, is a question that follows. And we're going to do that a little bit today, so remember your answer. Right, the question that I get to ask is, do you believe that the forgiveness that you just heard is not my forgiveness, but is from the very mouth of Jesus himself? And just so we're clear, the answer is, I do. Okay? Because when I stand up there, it's not me forgiving you your sins. It is Jesus speaking that word through me to you. And when he says it, he does it. All right, Jesus says, I forgive you. But it's more than just the words that come out of my mouth. He says, I baptize you. Feel the water on your head that you may know, you may feel the way that I work. Take and eat this bread that you may know that I am there. And through this bread, my body was broken for you, and now it's given to you to take and eat and take and drink. This is the blood of my covenant that has been shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so as we feel the water, as we taste the bread, as we taste the wine, it's not some vague spirituality that Jesus brings to us, but it is himself physically here today. And when he speaks it, he does it. Right? He gives life through his word. And so when hope feels lost, when you're walking through those dry patches in life, when the only question coming up in your head is, can I really keep doing this? Is there more to life than this? When those questions come, God answers with his, I will. And we don't know what that'll look like. But while we wait to see what that will look like, we might continue to pray, I don't know what that will look like, but oh Lord God, you know. Right? This story is not yet over because God has spoken. He has spoken through his prophet Ezekiel. He's spoken through the Word who became flesh in Jesus. He speaks now through his Spirit in a very physical way, and he will finish what he started. Right? God is not done. He says to those who have no hope, I will. Amen. Amen.